All right, so buckle up, everyone, because today we are diving headfirst into James and Paul.
Oh, yeah.
You know, those New Testament heavy hitters
Yep.
who always seem to be going back and forth on this whole faith versus works thing.
Right.
We've got this lecture here that breaks down their letters, and it really begs the question, can we actually bring these two viewpoints together?
Okay.
So that is our mission for this deep dive.
Fair.
We're going to unpack all of this.
Sounds good.
I think it's so interesting how Martin Luther's whole justification by faith alone thing has really colored the way that a lot of us look at these texts.
Yeah.
It's almost as if Paul's letters became the default lens, you know, and that leaves James kind of in the dust where we're
Yeah.
like trying to force his words to fit into
Yeah,
Paul's.
yeah.
It makes you wonder, though, what if we switched it up? What if
Yeah.
we started with James?
Okay.
Would that change how we read Paul?
That's a really interesting
Right.
question.
You know, it's like we think we know the ending of the story before we even open the book.
Yeah.
And that's where things get really fascinating
Okay.
because both James and Paul were dealing with very specific issues
Right.
in their communities.
Absolutely.
So Paul was battling this idea of legalism, which is basically saying you've got to follow all these Jewish laws perfectly
Yeah.
to earn your way into God's good graces.
Right.
And he was dealing with Jewish Christians who are trying to push that onto Gentile converts.
That's right.
So Paul's audience was clinging to rules and rituals.
Yeah, very much so.
That's pretty different from what James was dealing with.
Yeah, totally different.
All right.
Completely.
So James, he's facing a whole other challenge.
Yeah.
He's writing to Christians who were using their faith as an excuse to not really do anything.
Oh, okay.
They were saying they believed, but they weren't actually living it out
Right.
through love and charity and all of that.
Wow, so it's almost like a complete flip.
Yeah, it really is.
Paul's fighting those who are overemphasizing works, and
Exactly.
James is going after those who are totally neglecting them.
It's like a total 180.
That's so interesting.
Okay, so different contexts,
Right.
different problems,
Yeah.
but I think it still gets confusing when we talk about faith in general because some people, they think faith is just believing,
Right.
and
Yeah.
that's it.
Let's
Like,
just check in a box.
exactly.
Yeah.
But both Paul and James saw faith as something much deeper
Oh, absolutely.
than just, you know, a mental check mark.
Yeah.
So for Paul, faith meant totally trusting and surrendering to Jesus. It wasn't passive at all. It
Wow,
was
wow.
about aligning your life with
Okay.
Christ.
I see.
So how did James view faith then?
Well, he kind of echoed that same idea of actively living it out.
Okay.
Remember that line? The only true faith is faithful faith.
Oh, yeah.
He wasn't okay with just words.
Yeah.
For James, true faith had to be lived out, especially in those tough times.
It's like, show me your faith. Don't just tell me about it.
Right.
It reminds me of how James uses that story of Abraham offering up Isaac.
Oh, yeah, good point.
It wasn't enough for Abraham to believe that God would provide a ram. You know,
Right.
he had to act,
He had to take that step.
even though it was incredibly difficult.
Yeah, that's a really powerful example.
And James uses that story to show how action really completes and perfects faith. It's
Right.
not about earning your salvation,
Right.
but showing how genuine your belief is.
Absolutely.
Okay, so both James and Paul see faith as active,
Yeah.
but when they talk about works, it almost seems like they're speaking different languages. How
Yeah.
do we make sense of that?
You've hit on a really crucial point.
Yeah.
When Paul talks about works, he's mainly referring to those things that people do to try and earn salvation or
Okay.
to brag about how righteous they are.
I see.
He calls these works of the law.
Okay.
But James uses works in a completely different sense.
So for James, he's talking about those actions that come out of love and compassion, like
Exactly.
the good deeds that flow naturally from genuine faith.
Yeah, it's not about following some checklist to impress God. It's
Right.
about letting your heart, your
Yeah.
transformed heart, spill over into acts of service for others.
I love that.
Yeah.
And this leads us to a huge question.
Okay.
How do we reconcile Paul's focus on justification by faith alone
Right.
with James saying that justification comes through works? This feels like the biggest piece of the puzzle to figure out.
Yeah, it's definitely a head scratcher.
It is.
And it's something that theologians have been wrestling with for centuries.
Right.
It seems like James maybe has a more well-rounded view of justification.
Okay.
Paul's really zeroed in on that initial step of coming into a relationship with God through faith.
Right.
But James seems to be talking about how that relationship actually plays out in your life.
Yeah.
You know?
Like the proof.
Yeah. The evidence of it being real.
So it's not just saying, I believe.
No, not at all.
And calling it a day.
Nope.
James is saying that true faith.
Yeah.
It keeps proving itself.
That's right.
Day after day, yeah, through how you live.
Uh-huh.
He's saying that those actions, those works,
right,
they're like an ongoing testament to your faith.
That's a great way to put it.
You know, I'm starting to see how James and Paul, they might actually complement each other.
Okay.
Instead of clashing. It's like they're both pieces,
uh-huh,
of the puzzle, giving us different angles,
yeah,
on what it really means to follow Christ.
I think that's a really insightful way to look at it.
Yeah.
They're both pointing us toward the same truth.
Mm-hmm.
Authentic faith changes you,
yes,
from the inside out.
Yeah.
And it makes you want to act.
We need Paul to remind us that we can't earn salvation.
Right.
You know, by following rules and being all religious and busy.
Yeah, all that outward stuff.
Right. And we need James to warn us about becoming complacent.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just sitting back,
yeah,
calling ourselves Christians,
right,
but not letting our faith actually impact how we live.
Absolutely. It's got to affect our actions.
Yeah. And it's like they're on the same team, using their own unique voices,
right,
to help us figure out,
yeah,
all the complexities of faith.
It's a journey, that's for sure.
It is. It really is.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder, though,
well,
what would they say about all the challenges that we face today?
Well, that's a good question.
Like, if James and Paul were sitting here with us right now, mm-hmm, what works would they challenge us to embrace in this crazy modern world?
That's what we're going to explore next.
All right. Stay tuned.
Yeah. You know, one thing that I find really compelling about James,
mm-hmm,
is that he doesn't shy away from the tough stuff at all.
Right.
He goes right into those struggles that can make you question everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how am I supposed to deal with suffering?
Yeah.
What does it even mean to be faithful when you're surrounded by wealth and inequality?
Yeah. Right away, he talks about facing trials with joy.
Yeah.
He even says that those trials, they produce endurance. Mm. But then, like, just a few verses later, he says that God doesn't tempt anyone.
Right.
It feels kind of contradictory, doesn't it?
Yeah, I could see how that would be confusing.
Like, how can God allow these trials but not be the one tempting us?
That's a really good observation.
Yeah.
And it's one that trips up a lot of people.
Yeah.
I think James is making a very important distinction here.
Okay.
He's not saying that God throws temptations our way.
Right.
But that he might allow certain challenges to come into our lives.
Okay.
For our own good.
Well, you know, to help us grow.
Exactly.
To refine our faith.
Mm-hmm. It's about becoming stronger.
So it's more about how we respond to those challenges.
Right.
Do we let them crush us?
Yeah.
Or do we see them as chances to grow closer to God?
Exactly. That's it.
It's like God provides the workout, but we've got to put in the effort.
That's a good way to put it.
Build up those spiritual muscles.
I like that analogy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes me think about how James talks about wealth.
Oh, yeah.
It seems to come up again and again in his letter.
It's definitely a recurring theme for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he's addressing it from different angles.
Mm-hmm.
In one part, he warns wealthy Christians about getting too attached to their possessions.
Right.
Like, he reminds them that riches are temporary.
Yeah.
Just like those wildflowers that wither away in the heat.
It's that whole don't build your house on sand idea.
Yeah.
You can't find security or lasting value,
right,
in material things.
You got to find it in something deeper,
more
permanent.
Yes.
Your relationship with God.
That's it.
But then later on, James gets even bolder.
Yeah.
He almost takes on this prophetic tone.
Oh, yeah.
When he talks about wealthy people who exploit and oppress the poor.
He doesn't hold back at all.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah.
He compares their hoarded wealth,
mm-hmm,
to rotting treasures and moth-eaten clothes.
It's a pretty harsh image.
It is.
But a powerful one.
Yeah, it really drives home the point that material possessions,
yeah,
they can corrupt us.
Absolutely.
If we let them destroy us even.
And it emphasizes that our relationship with wealth,
right,
it should be about generosity and compassion.
Yeah.
Not about selfishly hoarding things.
Not just protecting what we have.
Right.
Hey.
He's challenging his readers to see wealth as a resource.
Okay.
To be shared, to bless others.
And this is where it all circles back.
Yeah.
To faith and works.
It always does.
It does.
Yeah.
For James, caring for the poor and the marginalized,
mm-hmm,
that's not just an extra thing you do.
It's not an optional add-on.
Right. If you're a Christian,
yeah. Yeah.
It's a vital expression of what it really means,
totally,
to follow Christ.
He's adamant about that.
Yeah.
For James, faith without action,
mm-hmm,
is like a body without a heartbeat.
Wow.
It's empty meaningless. He's not saying you earn your salvation through good deeds.
No, not at all.
But that genuine faith will naturally lead to good works.
Exactly.
Acts of love service.
Ooh, right.
So it's not about checking off a list to impress God.
Right.
But letting your faith change your heart and lead you to reach out and care for those in need?
Precisely.
Yeah.
It's about understanding that your faith isn't just a private thing.
Right.
It has to affect the real world.
It has to have an impact.
Yeah.
On how you live, how you treat others.
Right.
How you use what you've been given.
Absolutely.
And it brings us back to that question.
Okay.
What would James and Paul say about all the challenges we face today?
Yeah, about our modern world.
If they were sitting here with us,
right.
What works would they challenge us to embrace?
It's definitely something to think about.
It is.
It and is.
I think they would start by urging us to look around.
Yeah, to really see the needs around us.
See where the injustice is, where people are being ignored.
Yeah, pushed aside.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You think they'd be challenging us to look at our own lives?
I think so.
How do our spending habits,
yeah.
career choices, even our political involvement
right.
line up with what we say we believe?
I think they would definitely want us to move beyond
yeah.
just a comfortable, passive faith
right.
to really get involved in the messiness of the world.
Your hands dirty.
Yeah. Be agents of healing, justice.
Reconciliation.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not always about those big gestures.
Right.
You know, becoming a superhero.
Right.
Maybe it starts with those everyday choices.
Mm-hmm.
Those small acts of kindness and compassion.
Yeah, the little things.
That can have a ripple effect.
Absolutely.
I think that's a great point.
Yeah. And maybe they'd also remind us that some of the most profound works,
yeah.
they happen quietly. Behind the scenes.
Right.
Without any fanfare.
No recognition needed. Like
yeah.
visiting someone who's sick.
Yeah.
Or taking the time to listen to a friend who's struggling. Just showing up for someone who needs support.
Yeah. Those everyday acts of love can really make a difference.
Makes you think, are we so busy looking at the big picture that we miss those smaller chances?
Yeah.
You know, those everyday opportunities to really live out our faith.
It's easy to get caught up in thinking, we need to do these huge things
yeah.
to prove our faith, you know?
Right.
But what if James and Paul are kind of nudging us
yeah.
to look a little closer?
Yeah.
To see the needs that are right there in front of us.
Those quiet acts of service
uh-huh.
where you're not trying to get attention or recognition.
Right.
Those might be the most powerful works of all.
Absolutely.
The ones that really show a heart that's been changed by faith.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
And maybe they'd also remind us that faith isn't about having all the answers
Wrong.
Or putting on this perfect front.
Yeah.
It's about trusting in God's grace
mm-hmm.
and letting that grace work in you
yeah.
day by day, step by step.
It takes the pressure off, doesn't it?
Oh, for sure.
Knowing that it's not about being perfect.
Right.
But about giving ourselves over to something bigger than us.
Yeah. Surrendering to that power.
And letting that change us.
Transform us.
From the inside out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And maybe, just maybe.
Yeah.
James and Paul would leave us with this challenge.
Okay.
Don't just talk about faith. Live it.
Yeah.
Don't just study the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
Let them shape your life.
It's about closing that gap.
Yeah.
Between belief and action.
It is, because ultimately,
yeah.
the most convincing proof of your faith
yeah.
isn't what you say.
Right.
It's how you live.
It's how you love.
Yeah.
How you serve.
How you reflect God's grace.
To a world that really needs it.
A world that's hurting.
It really is.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into James and Paul,
mm-hmm.
here's a final thought for you to consider.
Okay, I'm ready.
If actions speak louder than words,
yeah.
what is your life saying about your faith?
That's a really powerful question to leave us with.
It is.
It challenges us to do more than just listen.
Right.
More than just take in information.
Mm-hmm.
It pushes us to get out there.
Yeah.
Put our faith into practice.
Exactly.
Well, thanks for joining us on this deep dive, everyone.
It's been a pleasure.
And we'll see you next time.
Yeah. See you next time.
For another journey into the world of ideas.
Bye, everyone.